Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily Podcast from the World Cup. We're back in Moscow now, just for the day. Then we head off to Kaliningrad a little bit later on. But had some good guests today, Andy, didn't we?
We did. First of all, though, we caught up with how we got here and our latest, a very romantic liaison between two TalkSport employees, which is quite exciting.
Yeah.
And, yes, Tancredi Palmieri popped in to see us. What a force of nature he is.
Marvellous. Yeah, the Italian journalist working for beIN Sports out here. We had a chat with him.
Then we went to the FIFA exhibition, well, the other day, but we did a little feature on that. You'll hear that. Tinsel on top form today. He's marvellous. Steve Freeth, of course, with his TV formats. Moose, well, we sent him to an art exhibition. He's such a heathen, but you'll hear that. He didn't particularly enjoy it, no surprise there. And Ivan, Ivan Kalishnikov.
Yeah.
That really is his name.
Kalashnikov.
What did I call him?
Kalishnikov.
What is his name?
Kalashnikov.
There you go.
That's what the guns are. I don't know who Kalishnikov is. You're thinking of Baryshnikov, whoever he is.
It's just ballet dancer.
Exactly. Anyway, Kalashnikov, after the rifle, but no relation, as you'll discover.
It is 4 minutes past 10, are you? 4 minutes past midday here in Moscow. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning,
Before
Paul.
We kick off, a bit of housekeeping. A couple of people have asked me about the music at
top
of the show.
There,
it's the original song is a song which you may, if you watch the old Michael Palin Around the World shows, he had to learn a song and sing it with a Russian naval choir
once. Yeah, yeah.
It's called Polishka Polye, and it's a, I think it's Field, Oh My Field, which is rather fitting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's a jazz version by
Victor
Feldman, who was a piano player and a vibes player.
Superb.
Who played with Steely Dan later on in life as
nice.
Well. Nice. Yeah, there we are. So there you know.
Yeah,
that's a little jazz version of that from an
album
he made
in
Russia.
It's very, very nice music. Yeah. Now, a bit of bringing you up to date from where we were yesterday when we left Sochi. What a tremendous mix-up last night when we arrived at the Ibis Hotel. Mm. John and David, our producer and football editor, had to share a room.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a mix-up over the booking. So the room booked was a two single beds, but it wasn't available.
No.
So the bad news was they had to share a double bed. The good news is they're now engaged.
It's great. It's so good. It's the first TalkSport wedding.
Congratulations, boys.
And one of you surely must have used line, that wasn't a pillow. Surely. Yeah, it's too tempting. Isn't it really taking you back to John Candy, etc.?
Now, before that, was one more white knuckle ride with our fixer, Nikolai, or Lewis Warnock, because we call him. He looks like Neil Warnock, he drives like Lewis Hamilton, so we call him Lewis Warnock.
Lewis Warnock, yeah.
I'm proposing a new theme park based on his driving, Warnock World. There's the U-turn, Helter Skelter, the wrong lane lottery. I love it. Oh, some of it was so bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then we got on the plane, and John is a bit of a nervous flyer. So it didn't help.
Our producer, yeah. Yes,
it didn't help that our steward's name tag told us that his name was Fail.
Yeah. Not, I hope his first name wasn't Engin.
Or Eb.
He could have been Engin. He could have been Turkey.
Yeah, Engin.
He could have been Engin Fail.
Engin Fail.
That wouldn't have been good for a steward, would it? Oh, that would have been a disaster. Well, not a disaster, obviously. Well, last thing you want.
No, we tried to reassure him that it couldn't be worse than driving to the airport with Lewis.
No, but, that's right. It was one of those flights where you sit at the back, and sometimes on a plane, you're not aware you're even moving, but it was turbulence all the way. And I could feel every one of those 500 miles an hour we were going at. You really felt like you were on a theme park ride for 2 hours, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And just that moment you asked for hot coffee and the thing starts going sideways. Always a joy.
As we came into land, the stewardess announced, the captain will now turn on the fasten the seatbelt sign. Mm. And John said, when's he ever turned the expletive thing off?
That's true, yeah.
And then John got held up in security with the sort of big equipment case that we have here. But David, who's so desperate to watch football and he knew the match had started.
He's the football editor.
I know, but he was prepared to leave him. He just dumped him.
Yeah, just.
I said, what about John? He said, oh, never mind, he'll find us.
Leave me. You go on. It's too late for me. That's what John said. Yeah.
And then there was a very interesting moment. Then queuing to get on the plane. This tall, there's a big long queue, and this tall Russian woman.
Now this is quite fundamental to our relationship, Andy, and the sort of people we are. There was a woman, and she kind of pushed her way. She eased her way to the front of the line. And Andy said, look at that. You know, they're not the greatest queuers in the world. And I said, well, look, you know, I think she's business class. That's why she's kind of eased it in a fairly elegant way. She's not just barged in.
Yeah.
And you said, you always see the best in people, don't you? And I said, well, I do. He said, I don't. I see the worst in people. I said, okay, well, if she's in business, you've got to take on my worldview. And if she's in economy with us, I've got to take on you. I've got to be cynical and see the worst in. And Andy, and we got on the plane. Where was she sitting, mate?
Damn, she was in business.
See, so there we are. Try and see the best in people, Andy. You'll be a lot happier for it.
And the drive back from Moscow Airport was also pretty hairy. I think it was Lewis Warnock's brother.
Yeah.
And he got in his minivan and he opens the back to put all our suitcases. It's just full of stuff.
Yeah. That's been a recurring thing. Every time we have got in a cab, there's been at least two baby seats in the boot. Now, this bloke's got a people carrier and we've asked for it specifically because we've got a load of equipment and the kit to do the show. And he had about three baby seats in there. We're going to get one with quads next, aren't we? The only cab driver with quads in Moscow.
It was ridiculous. But
the first time we went, our head of football, David, had the old baby seat on his lap. We were so desperate to get to the airport. He sat there with it on his lap for the whole trip.
He's mad. But now my wife, if she's listening, will love this. She's a lover of coincidences, my wife.
Yeah.
And this was pretty spooky, and I swear to goodness that this happened.
Yeah.
And Paul and I were making our own way to the venue this morning. Quite a distance from John, who was another part of the city coming from it. And anyway, we get on the tube and we're standing there waiting for the tube to come, the metro. The doors open and I swear to God, there's John standing there.
Same carriage. What are the chances? We'll ask Steve Freeth later on from
Bet365. I mean, of all the tubes in all the town.
Yeah.
You know, all that. And then we get on the escalator.
Yeah.
It's about a minute later and a guy stops. He goes, you're famous. You're famous radio presenters.
Oh,
I thought, well, not really. We know Gemma Collins. And he said, no, I came on your show. I'm from Mongolia. I play for Ulaanbaatar. It was him that
he
made
did.
It.
He came in with Paul Watson. Yeah, it's, just a chance. That's the second coincidence today. We need a third, don't we?
Well, we do, really. But
does it work like that, coincidence?
Well, they're supposed to.
No, they don't. They don't. The producers, they don't. No, it's bad luck.
This is our last show in Moscow today. So we thought we'd treat ourselves to it. We've got a couple of hours. We thought we'd treat ourselves to a lovely lunch.
When we were in December, we walked past this restaurant called Semi Freddo. It's an Italian restaurant.
It's owned by Freddo Truman, the Italian fast bowler.
Yeah, he opened it, yeah. It does look very nice. And so we had a look at the menu just now. And basically, it was 25 quid for a bowl of ravioli.
24, to be fair.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. You'll probably get about four bits. So I said to Andy, no, come on, that's ridiculous. You know, we're on a budget, for goodness sake. I hope the accounts department are listening. We're not taking the mickey, folks. Yeah. But we're on a budget here, so... but I was thinking, that's semi-Freddo. What the price is in Freddo like? Oh, we take it semi's a little bit cheaper, but we're not going there.
Well, I was prepared, but, you know, what can I do? And the funny, if we were talking food, we were talking holidays about after the World Cup. Because, it's you know, I know you don't have no sympathy for us, listeners, but it is quite grueling. So a lot of the people...
Get the violins out. you've had 2.5 weeks at the World Cup travelling around watching matches. Yeah, we really feel sorry. Don't even attempt. Do not even attempt that, Andy.
And David, our football editor, was going on holiday. I recommended Italy to him. I said, it's almost impossible to get a bad meal in Italy, as opposed to here, where it's almost impossible to get a good one. Yeah. But never mind.
He's going to go there and think they're the best drivers in the world by comparison. And he's still about going down to southern Italy, where that is a complete... Imagine our fixer heading down there. He'd teach him how to drive badly. Yeah, they think, they'll be doffing their cap to him probably as they're driving, won't
works,
they?
Works for me. Update on John's headphones, who may have...
He's abandoned them now. He's now using a handheld mic. He wanders around the pub with it like a crooner. Where you're from, handing roses to the lady.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, we're live from Moscow. We... head off to Kaliningrad ahead of England versus Belgium. We'll bring you two shows from Kaliningrad on Thursday and Friday.
Earlier this morning at breakfast, football editor Dave Walker gave me a copy of the Moscow Times. You knew I'd be interested in it.
Yeah. English language,
English language newspaper here. And amazingly, there's a letter in the readers section from Marie Goznovich.
Oh, is that right?
That's incredible.
Just like the sun.
Just like the sun. I can't believe it. Now, something I've been thinking about for a couple of days now, and, you know, I'm at that time of life when you think about things, and I worked it out. This could be my last World Cup. I don't mean on Earth, but I mean, as a broadcaster. Yeah. I mean, by 2022, I will turn 70 during that tournament.
Wow.
That is, you know, that's a long, you know, that's yeah. pretty old. So I've decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a Parry and Graham. I've noticed that Mike Parry and Mike Graham, what they do, they charge people 35 quid to come
round.
Is it
that much?
It is.
I'll check your facts.
No, it's 30. Apparently, I've been told. Yeah. I stand corrected if it's not right. 30 if you book in advance.
Oh, yeah.
£35 if not.
Yeah, you're going to go on the road. I do a road show.
Yes, or you can come around and watch football around my house.
Really?
But actually,
what, for 35 quid?
35 quid. Well, no. Liam Fisher, our controller, I was telling you about this morning. Yeah. He said he's got a much better idea. He said you should undercut them with the H&J Experience, £29.99. Special guest Jonathan Beals.
People don't want the H&J Experience.
You know, it's only because we're jealous of the two mics. And you've got to hand it to their agent. We've met him, Pooch.
He's very good.
Amazing bloke. But
he's very good.
But apparently, he's just been replaced by Poch, who's left Tottenham to manage the two mics.
Really? Because there's more money in it, by the sound of it. I think you could well be right.
Very, very happy with Mike Graham. Not so very, very happy with Paddy.
I'm sure it's worth every penny.
Yeah, of course.
Now, got anything else for us?
Well, I could have, but, you know, I've got to have something for tomorrow. Oh yes, we saw an advert on the TV for the Russian lottery.
Yes.
So we all thought, oh, have a go at that. You know, ooh, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Win 100,000 rubles. I got very excited about it. So we worked out it's about 11 grand. So perhaps
it's still a sizable amount of money.
Well, it is, but you know, it's not life changing. Still, it could be you.
Yes,
that's the way I look at it. You know. Well, not you necessarily, but there we go. A strange sight when we got off the plane the other day. You know how your ears go when you're sort of flying high, they start popping, don't they?
Yeah,
and then you get off there and they're all blocked. And you sort of, I think the medical way is to swallow quite hard and hopefully they'll clear.
Well, you should say hold your nose.
There's various old wives' tales of ways to do it. But the bloke in front of us had a very novel way with his girlfriend. He was kind of flat-handing around the head like Mick McManus.
He was doing what?
Flat-handing her. You like Mick.
He was flat-handing his girlfriend. I missed all of this.
You saw it, John, didn't you? It was basically, he wasn't being violent.
Well, he was sort of smacking her on the side of the head.
He was trying to sort of get her to, you know, to get her ears to sort of clear.
No way.
But, you know, it did remind me of the great wrestler from those days.
That's what he was doing. It wasn't a punch, it was the flat of the hand or the blind side of the referee.
No question about it. So there you go.
Anything else?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Well, he insists. He always tells us, oh, I haven't got enough time to give you everything I've got. If you haven't got it,
we're getting really down to the dregs now. Some of my lines in my notes are just mad when I look back at them. One of them was overcast and sweaty. I said,
what a double act they were.
That's it, basically. You said they were Mexican detectives. I've no idea why.
I think they were.
I just wrote it down, but there we go.
I'll tell you what. Yes. We're going to have a chat with. We said we're going to bring you an outsider's take on this time. We're going to hold him over the travel, and he's. We'll be having a chat with him in a bit more detail. But the great thing about this World Cup, of course, is you're speaking to a lot of journalists and fans of teams that are at this tournament. So it's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice. It's so nice to get an outsider's view.
I like an outsider's view.
Someone who has
has
no skin in the game. Someone who has no interest whatsoever in this World Cup.
So, very harsh.
No, I'm sorry, Tank. Tancredi Palmieri, friend of the show.
Your 3 minutes just went on a downhill because I entered the pub and there was the big smile and a blonde head of Kate Partridge that is from Russian Times in the same pub on the other side. And for one moment he said, oh, the lads have really changed. really shaped here in Russia.
Bit of glamour.
With the glamour, I got deluded. And now you tell me, oh, someone that has nothing to do with... I could tell you, oh, someone that has nothing to do with winning the World Cup.
Oh, no.
Talking about England.
I did ask for that.
You asked for that.
So I've been following... Obviously, we follow you on Twitter. We see you've been having... You've been enjoying the tournament. I said earlier on, enjoying it maybe in spite of Italy not being here, but maybe because they're not. You're kind of viewing it from a different... angle, I would think.
Don't even try that. I'm
trying to be positive.
That is like saying that someone, whoever, man or woman, could say, oh, you know what? I enjoy watching others having sex and not having sex. He like that. No, he's never like that. But
I believe there is a market for that. We won't go down that. We won't go down that route now.
I can tell you, it's like I love World Cup. Mm. I love football. So I have to do this. I have to, also because if I would be in Italy, it would be worse. To give you a comparison, this is not going on any sex comparison.
Thank
it's
God
like
for that.
If any of you has watched or has memory of Top Gun, is when Goose is dying in his flying, and there is Meg Ryan, that is the wife of Goose, saying to Tom Cruise, to Maverick, he would have flied anyway even without you, because Tom Cruise is blaming himself.
Yeah.
He would have flied anyway even without
Spoiler
you.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, by the
he
way.
He wouldn't have enjoyed it. Well, someone has said it. He wouldn't have enjoyed flying it, but he would have done it. So I have to do this. It's like I have to do it even more.
Sure.
It's like you are not inviting me at the party. I'm going to crash into your damn party.
Let me stop you there, because we're going to take a little break.
We
we'll
are.
Come right back.
Yes. More from Tancredi. We're going to get his views on the World Cup so far, and what he thinks Italy would have done had they been here, because a lot of the big guns have not really shown up yet. They're starting to, but not yet. Tancredi Palmieri joins us very, very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We are chatting to Tancredi Palmieri, the Italian football journalist working for BeIN Sports over here at the World Cup. So tell us about your World Cup experience, Tank, the games you've taken in, the cities you've travelled to.
Okay, the game, let's see if I can break it down very quickly. Russia-Saudi Arabia in Moscow, Portugal-Spain in Sochi, Belgium-Panama in Sochi, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia in Rostov, Brazil, Costa Rica in St. Petersburg, and Argentina, Nigeria in St. Petersburg yesterday night. The parties I've attended, countless.
Yes. You said the Panamanians know how to party.
I can tell you. The Panamanians, they were here like 18 years old, being released for the first time to go out on prom night, but that actually end up to be a wild party somewhere else. So they were having the time of their life. They couldn't care less about losing. They brought the Caribbean spirit, and it was perfect because it wasn't planned. But their first game was in Sochi. Now, you've been to Sochi. Sochi, in my opinion, is the link to Brazil 2014. The only Russian city where the Fan Fest is on a beach, actually.
Yeah.
The stadium is on a beach. When I arrived, I remember I arrived for Portugal-Spain. I arrived in the afternoon, just left the luggage and went straight to the stadium because I had a live outside the stadium before the game. So I arrived there, and my surprise to see girls in bikini strolling around the stadium saying, are they going like this to the stadium? And it was like, no, they were just on the beach. And I say, oh, let's see what is happening at the World Cup. If you think about that, it's like putting a stadium on the pier in Brighton, or the Palace Pier in Brighton, you know? It just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
You have it in Wembley. It's just far, far away.
Yeah.
At the feet of Christ, as we say in Italy. And so for them, I think it was a bit of a surprise, because they said, wow, this could be like us. And obviously the Russians that were there were like overwhelmed by that. All the different bars had prepared Panama parties, so the nights were fantastic.
Mm.
But that I have to say about the nights. But if I have to talk about the overall party, I like that we are going very technical about in this World Cup chat. The Argentinians, guys, and maybe with this we can link to yesterday night, the Argentinians are just something else, are just indifferent. There is this breath of believing, this breath of backing your team, something that is transcendental. It's not of this. It's
it's what I tell you.
You, Andy, says that. I mean, you said, you tell that was an amazing story. You said you went to a game, watch a Boca game, and the fans were singing. And as soon as the game finished, they started singing again, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And we were. I was lucky to be. I don't normally do this, but with a bit of hospitality, and we lingered a bit after the game, and we left the stadium, and they were still singing. Almost. I said to my friend, What are they singing? Why are they still singing? He said, they're singing about the next game. They're singing about the next team they're playing. I went, that's crazy.
72 hours in the last 3 days in St. Petersburg, they have not stopped a moment to sing. And they have already this song that is a new one, because they have always a new song every two or three days that everybody knows. I mean, I understand they have a new song, but how can everybody know that song? And they have this new song that is like, you hear it all the time. It's like a chant from Muezzin in a Muslim town where you hear it from mosque to mosque, that is bouncing, no? And it's going, was just going through every street in St. Petersburg. It was, vamos Argentina. And then
I think it must be the one my friend Pablo sent me
this
morning.
Yes, yeah, that's
he
right.
He sent me a really odd thing. He's singing. He doesn't normally sing to me. Yeah. Like, what on earth is this?
It has been invented for this World Cup. If you really want to hear some of this, vamos Argentina, sabes que yo te quiero. Hoy hay que ganar.
Yeah, that's it. That's what he was singing. Yeah.
Esa hinchada loca deja todo por la copa. La que tiene a Messi, Maradona. And then they just start again and again. It's unbelievable. And yesterday, when they think that they couldn't make it, I have to tell you, it was in St. Petersburg. And that were the demons of St. Petersburg, of Dostoyevskian memory, just around wrapping the minds of Lionel Messi, that was fighting for his belief against these demons, against his destiny. You could see that it wasn't a matter of talent, it wasn't a matter of football, it wasn't a matter of fate, for as much you could put fate in football. But when you saw all this crowd, that doesn't matter how much was failing and going down Argentina, and that was like singing endlessly. The stadium in St. Petersburg looks like a space shuttle ship, and it looked like they were lifting the space shuttle ship. When 10 minutes to go, Marcos Rocco, the man from nowhere, Rocco, who is Marcos Rocco? He was pointed out by destiny and saying, you are the one who is going to break the spell. You are the one who's fighting the demons of Dostoyevsky's memory. It was like, I couldn't keep the tears. At the final whistle, I couldn't keep the tears.
You are funny, very poetic.
So, looking at the World Cup, as we said, a couple of the big sides have struggled so far. I mean, how do you think Italy would have fared? You must have been looking at it through Italian eyes at times this tournament so far.
You know, everybody of my fellow countrymates in Italy are speaking about that, and I'm hating that, because for me, I don't think there is nobody, not a football player, that has suffered more than me about the elimination of Italy. Guys, I think you remember.
Yeah, I do.
I told you, I slept in the street the night coming back from San Siro. I just couldn't feel comfortable to stay home. But still, when something is done, I don't want to look back. I don't want to say, what if nothing? We have lost. You can say Sweden has not the same quality. You can say, oh, look at Saudi Arabia, those countries. We knew that. We knew that since the beginning. Nobody has tricked us. We had to blame only ourselves. I believe that Italy, would have reached possibly around the 16, but there was one thing that missed in Italy, and in Italy's game, was the pace. And I have to tell you, for how much unordered, indisciplined is this World Cup, I see very lot of lack of balance, a lot of lack of balance. The midfield is always overtaken by the action. You don't see really ordered midfield able to keep composure. England has done that. Belgium has done that. Very few others. Brazil hasn't.
Croatia, Modric is that. Sort of player.
Wow, mamma mia, mamma mia. Modric is one of a kind. But Italy was missing that pace. So to be honest, even if we are way better than others, but I don't know if we could have kept the pace. So we have to shift in that way. But as I said, that is I don't want to be the widow in the World Cup. I'm here for the World Cup.
We're running out of time. I want you to tell us about the Sochi to Rostov train journey that you took.
Yes, indeed, guys. 12 hours. Journey was the only way to cover on time Uruguay game from Sochi, and I was a bit of what should I have to expect from this, because they don't have seats on the train. They only have these beds. They call it coupé, when you can close the door, and not coupé, when the door has to keep open. Four or six bed for each. I didn't know what to expect. Everything can happen. You can happen like, oh, look, I'm in a wagon, they are all just girls. No, they were all families. But it was this, I felt like a hero. Oh, I'm doing a 12-hour thing. That was with me, a family, one father and two kids, very nice. And they were doing the trip from Sochi to St. Petersburg, 44 hours.
Wow.
And I felt either. And look, the kids that were all happy, and I say, shut up, Tancredi, don't take a But the thing is that I love that. I started at the beginning, I didn't know what to expect. I start to dig gently, but the little story that were coming out, it came out, I discovered that Russian railways decided 2 or 3 years ago that every summer they would employ to manage the train, like really manage, so not like being staff, not only like being internship, like managing the thing, responsible, only young people from 18 to 21. You see that the heads of the thing are only young people, many young girls also, which have the eye, but sorry, by machismo, but about along 12 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was fantastic. I was talking with the guy, say, what? At 18, you are managing a train? You are responsible for that? When I was 18, I was playing PlayStation. And he said, we do play PlayStation. We have it here. We just play it in the long part of the journey.
When everybody's asleep.
A fantastic moment was when, one thing. they are more precise than Swiss trains, than every trains.
Yeah, we noticed that.
12-hour journey, they were stopping at the exact minute every time.
Yeah.
And there were some technical stops that weren't in a train station, were just in the middle of fields, okay? But it was a planned technical stops. Don't know why, but it was a planned technical stops. When that was happening, there were some peasants from the fields that were coming, who with the bucket of berries, whom with a bucket of salty fish,
right.
Whom with a bucket of meatballs. They were standing there outside the train in the middle of fields, just selling to you cherries, whatever. You went to the shopping.
Brilliant.
Everybody was going down and enjoying.
Fantastic.
Tank, we've run out of time.
Brilliant, mate.
Brilliant as always. It's
lovely,
lovely to see you. We're so pleased you're enjoying
the World
Cup. You
are not going back home, right?
Saturday. Well,
you are going back home earlier than your team. That has never happened
no,
before.
It certainly didn't happen in Brazil. Lovely to see you.
I had to do it.
Yeah, of course. We accept it.
We'll see you soon. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
My pleasure, guys.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very good morning from Moscow. It is 18 minutes past 10 with you, and we are live in the John Dunn pub, which is, as we've told you before, a real Liverpool stronghold, a place where a lot of footballers watch, but this is where all the Moscow Liverpool fans get together to watch all the big matches. Joining us now in the John Dunn is Ivan Kalashnikov. He is a Russian journalist and author who wrote a book in Russian on English football. Ivan, good afternoon. Good morning, should I say, to our listeners. So, this love of English football, where does it come from?
Well, working for one of the most popular Russian sports websites, sports.ru, and then they gave me an opportunity to go to London, live there, stay there for some time, and then I started covering English football and just got sucked into it.
Yeah.
So I travelled to all the places where, British journalists never go, like Hull and other places, Bury, and So enjoyed it very much. So
you told this kind of story. You told the Russian people of the kind of structure of English football and the way it works, and gave them an insight into
yeah, exactly. Because even the people in Russia who follow English football, as you can see here in this beautiful place, they know the basics, the history, but mostly about the greatest clubs in England. But also they fascinated with the non-league football, because we don't have it here. We don't have an analog of non-league football. It doesn't go too deep. We only have three divisions, and this is it. And our, for example, our oldest club, founded by British men back in 1909, it's struggling, and it has a long, long history, but people never never had a chance to discover it because non-league football is not getting much coverage in Russia.
If you turn to your left there, this man here is
he's a fan of non-league football. His team were a league club, but sadly they have dropped through the divisions into a regional.
You just see a little tear in his eye.
Pothole, they find them. But they'll be back. Torquay United, did you encounter them down in the West Country of England at all, Ivan? No, Torquay United?
No, I know the place. It's in the southwest, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Sochi. It's the Sochi of England. Yeah, he's better. Yeah,
I thought you said Sochi was better. You were going to buy an apartment there. Yeah. And live there,
you say yellow and blue, no?
Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's good.
Great knowledge.
Actually, that's the region I've been the less to.
Right.
The region, but yeah. Russian people love to read about non-league football. Mm. Not only the big stories like United of Manchester or something like this, but also they like to discover everything. Like, I've been to every league from the 11th tier and up to the Premier League.
Wow.
At least once.
If you send Ivan your podcast every week, he can translate it into Russian.
You can have a Russian national obsession. I just like the people in the bar at Stalybridge Celtic or whatever, and there's Ivan having a quiet pint after the match. You explaining what you're doing. They must find, when you spoke to non-league fans and they saw you and found out you were from Russia and what you did, they must have been fascinated.
Yeah, that was really surprising for them. But then they came back to me with lots of stories, and I said, okay, this is why I want to write about this is why people follow you. Or the stories like about, you know, Forest Green Rovers when they just started with their like vegan energy saving owner. I was one of the first people who went there and tried the vegetarian burger.
Right.
And on this day, I was the only one, actually.
That's brilliant.
So there was a chalkboard where they marked how many chips they sold or how many. It was a veggie burger, and it was like nothing. And I was the first one to put that mark.
It tastes sensational.
Yeah, it just. Fantastic.
Oh, they'll be
pleased
to
hear that. We know that the English league system, you'll be aware, is a pyramid, isn't it? And it's an incredible thing. 92 professional clubs, as you say, structures right there. And, of course, feeding all the way down into Sunday league football. It is an amazing thing, which you obviously have picked up on. Do you have a sort of Premier League team you like as well?
I was never a fan of a certain team. Mm-hmm. I always switch allegiance at the halftime, you know. Support the team that's losing, so always root for the underdog.
Okay.
But I lived in Hammersmith, which is not far from Fulham, so I usually walked down the Thames to Fulham ground, and Craven Cottage is the stadium I love the most.
Oh, it's a lovely ground. Walk as well to the ground,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
When the players come out of that cottage, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you ever considered getting it translated into English so English fans could get your perspective on English football? That would be quite interesting.
I think they know like the 80% of it already. Mm. I mean, for Russian people, it was a revelation in some sorts. But English people, probably, I don't know if English people still care about what Russian people think about them.
Well, I think that may change after this World Cup. I think it's been a real eye-opener. It's very noticeable that number of people are looking to come out here now that were scared off by a few of the stories that we read. But the actual experience for people here has been very good. I mean, if you must be delighted that these are the sort of things that are being said about your country and the way they're hosting this tournament.
Yeah, I do, because I too often felt like on the fence, because at one time, at one hand, I understand what British people are concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Britain, I understand that some part of football culture you are used to is probably going to be very much different in Russia, and sometimes more aggressive, more hostile, or something like this. At the same time, I'm Russian. I understand that Russian people, I knew that they will be very welcoming during the World Cup, and the behavior of the away fans, what we see in Marseille and stuff, and during some European games, will be completely different from the behavior here at home. But it's hard to explain unless you experience it, right?
It is.
But English fans, they do sometimes behave the same. They behave away probably worse than they behave at home.
Of course, it's undeniable. But I think what's nice and what's come out is whatever the politicians have said, the people of both countries have got together and have found each other great company, great welcoming, and it's been absolutely fantastic. What about the football? We must be loving that too. There's been some quality football in this World Cup.
Yeah, surprisingly. I mean, I even, you know, regret a little bit that I'm covering the tournament, because when you're covering the tournament, you're missing like the 100% of fun, because you have to figure out what to write about, start making notes. But then, I've been to, for example, to 3 games in a row: Argentina, Croatia, then England, Panama, then before that was Belgium, Tunisia.
Yeah.
So lots of goals, lots of action, a lot of narrative as well.
Mm.
So that was fun, but I was like busy and thinking about transportation. So but the level of football and the level of drama is fantastic.
Your last name, Kalashnikov, I mean, it's a famous name. Are you anything to do with the dynasty, the gun dynasty?
No, I'm not related. Thankfully, I think, because, I feel a little bit uneasy about, this being one of the famous things about Russia, basically the gun making. Even though the Kalashnikov, the original person who invented it, was a very nice person and never intended this to be, I don't know, weapon of mass destruction or something like this. Also, I usually get into the situation, like, I'm trying to explain people more about Russia, and it's not all stereotypes.
Yeah.
But then my last name is Kalashnikov, and I can actually play balalaika.
Yeah. So, and your first name's Ivan or Ivan,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Also. Yeah. When I wrote something for The Guardian back in 2012 as in a preview to Russia playing at the Euros, and people in comment section were like, couldn't Guardian came up with a better name?
Yeah, that's
a better name for a Russian. It's too obvious that one of your editors wrote this and just put like random Russian pseudonym on this.
Fantastic.
What about Russia? Just finally on the Russian team. They've done incredibly well to get through. Obviously, that was a tough game against Uruguay the other day. Yeah. Do you think, can they get beyond the round of 16, or you think that would be still overachieved to have done that? You feel?
I think the expectations were quite low before the tournament, but right now I can say they achieved exactly what their potential is up to.
Yeah,
something like this. Yeah, the performance against Saudi Arabia and Egypt was a little bit unexpected. I mean, it was strong. It was
goals.
They got the result. Yeah. A lot of goals. But judging by all the friendly games during those previous 2 years and sinking down in the FIFA rankings and stuff like this, we didn't expect much.
Sure.
But then we realized that the team's playing against the exact opponent. They're getting ready for the exact opponent each time and work out the plan for the exact game.
Yeah.
Not for whole of the tournament. We're not like Spain with their own style.
Just on a match
following,
by match,
yeah, following the style in every game. But this is good. Sometimes you have to admit that, okay, we are better in, you know, destroying the opposition rather than imposing our style on them.
Sure.
So this worked fine in two games and we're happy with that. With the Uruguay, I think there was also a plan to how to, I don't know, defeat Uruguay as well. But
sure.
Because of the individual mistakes, they cost us a lot.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't the first team.
Yeah.
Some players were like from
He rested
from reserves. And the coincidence is that the exact players who were meant to be in reserve, they did those mistakes.
Sure. Andy Jacobs here on Talksport live from Moscow. We've got all the odds if you fancy a flutter on today's games with Steve Freeth. Then obviously give him a couple more of his TV formats. We're going to make him a star for the end of this. But before that, you need a bit of expert guidance. And it is expert guidance because yesterday, Tinsel the Turkey called Lionel Messi to get things up and running for Argentina and for them to win 2-1. And what happened? They won 2-1 and Messi scored the first goal.
And can I just say that Achilles, the Russian cat who they're using, he just basically eats the food they give him. They put the food he likes in one bowl, the food he doesn't in another bowl. And he picks it. He's not like Tinsel. I find it a complete insult.
It is.
With Tinsel, you know, uses his great knowledge, his great ability, and he gets it. Not only does he get the score, the result right, but he gets the correct score as well. That's great knowledge.
That's second direct hit, I think, for him in this tournament. Tinsel joins us now. Hi, Tinsel.
He doesn't like Achilles either.
He doesn't, no. He's just mentioned that there. Tom from Guildford's been in touch. He said, I just want to thank Tinsel. He wants to thank Tinsel the Turkey. Tinsel the Turkey, if you speak to him today. Of course we're going to speak to him today. I stuck £10 on Messi to score first, Argentina 2-1, on his advice yesterday, and won £170.
Wow, what do you think
That's
of that,
fantastic.
Tinsel?
Fantastic. So, please, Tinsel. Now look, you can't have a rake off, mate. Just do it for the good of it. So, I mean, you were in the stadium last night, and what was the atmosphere like? Wow. Okay, we had a little bit of trouble with the Nigerian fans. They'd heard the show they'd heard the 2-1 really? After the game. What were they doing then? They were waving packets of sage and onion stuffing out. There's no need for that, is there?
And,
no need for that.
Was that true that Diego Maradona was making that rude sign at you, Tinsel?
Those fingers.
He's not happy.
He's not. Anyway, let's have a look today at Switzerland versus Costa Rica. How do you see it? He likes them because they do bird-based hand signals, of course, some of the Swiss players. And he's going a very comfortable 2-0 to the Swiss. Tinsel, Tom from Guildford, now you know, 2-0 Switzerland, he says. He can't give you a goal score, you know. He just got lucky, let's
yeah,
be honest.
He did, yeah.
Tinsel, thanks. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. There we are. People are putting money on Tinsel the Turkey's
it's
tips.
A bit of an aggressive sign-off there from Tinsel, wasn't it, really?
You can't understand what he says.
I can't, but it sounded quite angry.
Some languages do sound a bit aggressive.
Yeah, I love the fact that Steve's always sharing top billing with the Tinsel the Turkey.
Yeah.
They're always on together.
And getting less things right when it comes to tipping as well, which is slightly worrying. You should be looking over your shoulder. You're going to get replaced by a turkey, Steve.
Yeah, well, I was thinking this yesterday. I did actually go to work with a lad with a surname Tinsel. We were actually very good friends.
Really?
Back in the day. Me and Dave Tinsel, about 20 years ago. Yeah, I have no idea what he's doing now, but that's a good shout-out to him. But,
well, they're related. He's related to him.
I've never heard that surname before.
Tinsel, yeah.
What a nightmare at Christmas. There.
Exactly, yeah.
Poor fella. Now, Steve, we want to make you a TV star. Coming up with Puntastic TV formats, we'll be honest, over 18 days, it's starting to stretch us.
it's wearing thin. I've gone a different direction today.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've gone with...
You're not going Steve's, are you?
I've gone Steve it out. Freethy joins Mickey Flanagan for some Cockney banter.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm still sticking with Freeth. I don't know if we've given you it takes a Freeth to catch a Freeth. It's another one of these kind of family-based ones where you do terrible things, but it's only other members of your family. That's a poor format. That's not going to get off the ground.
I've got Hell's Freeth. Steve rides around on Harley Davidsons with his fellow angels.
Really?
Yeah,
I've got one for NRA TV, Armed to the Freeth, which is your gun show, Steve. That's of a particular interest.
And I'm
probably
saving
not
the other two I've got left because I've got...
Well, I'll back myself and I'm going to give you...
I have got one for the World Cup, and the next World Cup.
Yes.
2022. Of course, we're all talking about referees' decisions and stuff like that. I've got a couple of recently retired international footballers with me, and the next referee. So it's Cruise Company, Freeth and Dowd. Soap-based arbiter. Maybe I could get him involved, and then Cruise and Company probably will be retired by then, and we could talk about all the big decisions, maybe.
Wow, that sounds like a winner.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, it does sound like a winner, that, doesn't it? Yeah, we'll have a studio audience, get bands in. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Okay, Steve, we will catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, here we are at the temporary pop-up little FIFA museum, Andy.
Yeah, excellent. I was lucky enough to come last week, and it really is sensational. You come in, there are all 32 shirts from the teams taking part in the World Cup. Then there's a kind of interactive thing here. You are the ref, which I'm sure Paul Trevelyan would love. And we're about to walk up the stairs now, where it features every single ball used in every single World Cup.
Fantastic. We all chose our favourite kits.
Right,
every single ball in every single World Cup. That sounds right, yeah. So we've got every ball from every tournament. I still maintain nothing touches 1970 in Mexico.
That was the first of the sort of polka dot type tango balls, wasn't it? And it's amazing how they evolve over the time. I like the Jubilani. I'm surprised they had to nail it to the wall to stop it blowing away.
Which one was that? Was that for 2010?
2010.
Let's ask our producer, John, what's your favourite ball? Can you tell? I mean, what's your favourite ball? So we just see this image of the original World Cup stadium in Montevideo in Uruguay, and you've been there.
I have been there, and honestly, they haven't even painted it since 1930.
Really?
It's true. It's the most run-down stadium in the entire universe. Same thing exactly, a huge bowl, nothing's changed, but it was where it all started.
Wow, so it doesn't look any different at all?
Not at all.
Wow, wait. So what have you just discovered?
The manager of the Italian side in 1934 was also a journalist, and he even filed his own match report after winning the World Cup.
That's fantastic. Imagine that now. Although, who's got Gareth? Gareth's dad was a journalist, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's not going to be writing a match report during the game.
It seems unlikely. Now, we've found one of the AirTech shirts from Mexico 70. It was so hot in Mexico that the technology had moved on to a point where they could
produce these very thin shirts with kind of small holes in. I think it's still tough to do a replica of that old England shirt from 70.
I don't know if it's got the Airtex holes in them. I remember the late Brian LeBone.
Because you saw the original, he brought it along.
Yeah, he brought
to
it
Phoenix
along,
the Flames,
telling me
it?
About it, and showed me this shirt. That was exactly, this is Lucescu from Romania, but it's the same design, sort of.
It's like a tea bag, isn't it?
Basically, yes. This next exhibit is fascinating. It's a replica of the Jules Rimet trophy. But the base is the original base. It was found many years later. Let's have a look. It's made out of blue lapis lazuli. It's the one they used in 1930. And it was discovered in 2014.
Yeah.
2014, the original base was found, and they've restored it to here.
Wow. It's a tiny trophy, isn't it? That's the thing you notice about it, the Jules Rimet trophy. It was quite small.
I don't know how Pickles found it.
Yeah. I mean, you can get that in a dog's mouth. Easily, that's the thing. You think of the Champions League. If they lost the Champions League, try and get that in a dog's mouth.
Pickles would never have found it.
Pickles have had no chance. He would have sort of played with it from his paw and then wandered off. He would not have picked it up. I'm watching an old film now, sorry, of the 1954 World Cup. And there's some very... Blimey, that was going for his gun then, that security guard. Some people ran on the pitch.
It's the World Cup where the Korean, North Korean captain wore glasses. You don't see a lot of players with glasses.
No, you
those.
Don't. You certainly don't.
More's the pity, I say.
There's the Stanley Rouse there, the head of FIFA at the time.
Yeah.
And this was Germany-Hungary. And really, this was the final. A bit like the Dutch in the 70s. Hungarians were the greatest team that never won the World Cup, weren't they?
Right. That's true. So, Puskas, I like Puskas. He's a bit like me. He's got a bit of a derby.
Yeah, on him. Even then, he had a little bit of a belly on him. Fantastic.
Good left foot, though.
It's very good footage. We had Arthur Askey in the crowd earlier on for the one for the teenagers. Bloke with a sort of plastic bag on his head. typical Germany, wasn't it? They found a way to get it done against the best team in the world. Much like they did against Holland in 74. Football was it? The producer just said football was rubbish back then.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Very poor attitude.
Happened upon the 1950 World Cup shirt that Brazil wore when it was in Brazil, and they were expected to win it, and they lost, of course, to Uruguay.
And unlike
in
today,
the final,
it's not the yellow and green that you're familiar with now. It's a white shirt with a blue collar. It was considered unlucky, wasn't it, after this?
Do you know how they arrived at a new shirt for the next World Cup?
I do, but you'll remind me.
It's a competition.
Yeah.
It was a competition amongst just punters, and they asked people in Brazil just to come up with a new shirt. And it was a guy who was, I think, was a graphic designer, and he came up with the idea of the yellow and green. So it was like a people's competition.
And they never looked back.
And they never looked back. Another pair of boots there,
Pelé.
From Pelé's boots.
Pelé's boots.
God, didn't he have small feet?
Yeah, but how could he?
Really?
How could
he be about size 7?
How could he be so brilliant in those hobnail boots?
Yeah, they are. They do look like you should be. I mean, they do look like something you'd kind of wear clog dancing, don't they? Now, we've come across a Brazilian tracksuit top from 1962 in Chile. And it's safe to say it's not Airtex. It's basically a woolly jumper, isn't it?
It's thick wool, but actually, to be fair, the World Cup with that year was in Chile, and it was winter time in Chile, so I suppose that is why it was so thick.
Yeah.
I was thinking, imagine wearing that on a hot day.
Yeah, if people produce those now, somebody decided to start knocking those out of retina, they'd sell, wouldn't you?
It'd be a real winner.
Yeah,
that,
we'll take that back end. We'll put that to our business partners, only if we had some. They've got some fantastic stuff in here. We've come across an original boot worn by one of the Hungarian players in the 54 World Cup final.
Zoltán Csibor. I mean, honestly, imagine trying to play football in those.
Yeah.
And right next to it is an incredibly iconic Soviet red shirt, very similar to the one that we all know that Lev Yashin wore,
yeah,
with CCCP on it. And,
I still think the old Yashin black shirt is still a very big seller for Tofts amongst all the replica shirts all these years on. We've come across the FIFA ID of a fairly infamous referee from the 1966 World Cup. Rudolf Kreitlein, he was a German referee. Why is he infamous, Andy?
Because he refereed the game between England and Argentina. It was a quarter-final, wasn't it, where he sent off Rattan.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think Hurst got the winner. And
and Sir Ralph wouldn't let him swap shirts.
No. So he
and
came,
he called them animals after the game.
Remember, they all surrounded him, so it was an incredible moment. But, and World Cup Willie, good to see him here.
Fantastic. We've had an incident here with our producer, John Cadogan. What did you do, John?
I put my hand on a piece of... what is it? Plastic?
Display cabinet.
Just a display cabinet, and got severely reprimanded.
Did you really?
I didn't grab the 1966 ball.
So you maintain you did nothing wrong?
No.
We'll find out. We're going to get kicked out. Typical Torquay fans kicking off, ruining it for everybody else.
Well, Hawksby Andy Jacobs live from Moscow. We'll hand over to Danny.
Another
Kelly
bit with David
shortly.
Priest.
Yeah, have you got more David Priest material? I'm sure. Yeah,
I haven't.
Anyway, here doing a little bit of work in a role with Russia today. Someone, a familiar voice on TalkSport, worked with us before she headed back to Russia. Kate Partridge. Hi, Kate.
Hello, guys. Lovely to be here
Good
again.
Good to yes. see you.
Oh, we're going to join. Kate's going to join in with our chat with the Moose.
Yeah, the Moose is standing by as well. He knows Kate, of course, former colleague. Hi, Moose.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. So, what have you been up to? We set you a challenge. What did you get up to?
You asked me to go to this the garage, which is not anywhere you get car fixed, but it's an art gallery in Gorky Park, partly funded by Roman Abramovich. And I kind of thought his wife had some art there as well, but I wasn't sure because, I mean, people there don't speak very limited English. In fact, I was barely able to get in, let alone actually find out what was in the exhibition. Anyway, Andy thought there was a really terrific exhibition by, I think it was a German football fan, Andy, is that right?
Oh, famous photographer, Jürgen Teller.
Yeah, let me tell you, if that's his work, I'm hanging up my microphone as of now, and with my photos from this World Cup, I'm going to open an exhibition that's going to blow this city's mind off. It was so woeful. I mean, it was as woeful. It was pathetic. You walk in, and I'm expecting some great pictures, some pictures of German football history down the years. That are absolutely, I'm going to go, wow. I've got my camera ready. My camera phone is at the rail. I've only got 30%. I'm hoping it's going to be enough. I tell you what, if my camera phone had 1%, it would still have been more than enough by 1%. You walk in, so on the wall, right, it's a great big huge wall, 30 foot high, barely 6x4 the amount of pictures. I mean, I thought the Mona Lisa was small. I needed a magnifying glass to see these pictures, right? Is for the whole of this wall of about 15 foot, 20 foot, is just pictures of him as a kid with his dad watching a Germany game where he's upset or he's celebrating. Whoopee! Yeah. Hang on a minute, I'm going to get some picture when I was a kid watching the game, shall I? I thought it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Don't worry, it's going to get... I turn around, the next bit, there's a picture of a man. This is about 20 foot higher, by the way, this picture, this photo of a man with beer dripping down his face. He's poured beer all over him. What's that got to do with football? Hang on a minute. I'm going to go this afternoon and pour beer down my... I'm thinking, hang on a minute. There's one more turning of this amazing exhibition to go. By the way, with the one where the beer is being poured down his face, there's also an exhibit you can actually look at and touch of empty glass. Oh my God, an empty glass. What has the world come to when art is an empty glass? Anyway, so I've turned around this last corner. I'm thinking, I'm disappointed so far, but this is where it gets better. And there's pictures of like Tony Cruz in his suit. And Thomas Müller posing in his suit. And Leroy Sané, who's not even here at the World Cup, posing in his suit. And Joachim Löw at a press conference. Hang on a minute. I can do all that. I've got these pictures on my phone here and now.
Moose, I've seen all the pictures you've been sending out. It's you with a succession.
Calm down, Moose.
It's you with a succession of blonde football fans with your arms round them. That's not an exhibition.
Look where Jürgen went wrong. Moose, where Jürgen went wrong is he didn't do enough photos of me and my very good friend, whoever it is.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought the chocolate museum, right, was woeful and poor. I was about to say to people, don't bother going there.
Well, you're not letting us get a word in edgeways here.
Russia, go to... Sorry?
Yeah, calm down.
Sorry.
Because we know that
you've
had
an angry call.
I know you. You've had. Kate wants to tell you about, because we want you to have a bath. Nothing personal.
No, but I mean, as a challenge, not just generally. Okay,
Kate, tell Ian about the bath, the famous bath.
Right then, Moose, let's set you another challenge then. I gather that you weren't too impressed with the Russian chocolate. I'm not too sure where you went, but it didn't sound like you went to the chocolate factory, but never mind. But the one thing that you really must do is, when in Russia, you must go to the Banya, because that's like the Russian bath. So it's like a really, really posh sauna, but a lot better, because you can have treatments and massage, and there's a plunge pool, and there's also where you can be beaten with the sticks as well. Yeah, so right. the Oakleys, so they can make you feel better.
Yeah. Jürgen Teller will be there beating you with sticks, probably.
By the way, this comes from the young lady who's desperately to try Russian dumplings ravioli. But, you know, anyway, there we go.
They're very tasty, Moose. Well, there you go, Moose. Okay,
But hang on, but I am very ticklish. So, I mean, I'm not sure that's
really
for me.
I don't think they'll set out to tickle you, Moose. I think
if he does that laugh, they're going to chuck him out, echoing round the... Oh.
That's the one. Yeah. You can't have that echoing round a sauna, can you? But they could also do a mud wrap for you, Moose. What they do is they cover you in mud and then wrap you in cling film and loads of towels to sweat out all your impurities.
Moose, that's your next challenge. We're going to leave it there because we want to ask Kate a couple of questions before because we're nearly out of time.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Yeah, thanks, Moose. We'll catch up with him tomorrow. Kate, I'm sure you've been speaking to your Russian colleagues at Russia Today. What are they making of the World Cup? I'm sure you've been reporting back to them that people have been really enjoying it, very pleasantly surprised. It's very different from their expectations, not just people from the UK, but from all over the world. Yeah, so what are they making of that?
Everybody's loving it. I think it's also, they probably feel, the Russians feel a bit vindicated because it's one of those situations where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. We're always saying, because I've lived in Russia from 2009 to 2014 and then back in the UK for 3 years and come back again and predominantly looking at the World Cup. I did the World Cup announcement and we were thinking, great, this is going to be fantastic. People will say if you work for RT, well, obviously you're going to say that Russia is fantastic because that's almost like you've been paid to do that. But the whole point was I wouldn't have stayed here and lived here for so many years if I didn't think it was a great place to live and work in, and I always loved it. And we were really looking forward to it, and I think it's exceeded everybody's expectations. A lot of that down to the fact the Russian team did so well and started so well, because even the kind of sceptical fans, because Russia had such a really bad build-up, they hadn't had obviously any competitive games. Any friendlies they'd had were really kind of mixed and weird and wonderful or pretty bad. But of course, two great games, the whole country's lifted. Wherever you go anywhere, everybody's happy. I mean, they're naturally more poker-faced and reserved, as you probably found out.
Yeah.
Sort of cold-faced, warm heart kind of people. But yeah, no, they've really got into it. We knew it would be a great World Cup because we've seen the planning over so many years. We've seen the massive boost to the infrastructure, how the place has been remodeled, repainted, rebuilt. So so we'd anticipated a great World Cup, but nobody could have anticipated how good the football was, which has really added to it.
No, absolutely. You were saying that last time. This is shaping up to be a really fantastic World Cup football world. Let's hope this next stage can live up to this first stage. We've seen some brilliant matches, haven't
we? I think there's one Turkey, wasn't there, really, which was France-Denmark.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one Turkey. Yeah, we know.
Tinsel the Turkey.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Kalashnikov. Anyway, that was this afternoon's show. We're off. Back off to the airport. We're getting used to airport food now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Good old Aeroflot. I do like their rolls.
I don't.
No, Andy won't eat anything on a plane. But we're live from Kaliningrad. More top guests joining us ahead of England's final group game against Belgium. Until then, thanks for downloading us. We'll catch up with you soon.
That's
what you were singing. Yeah.
Esa hinchada loca deja todo por la copa, la que tiene a Messi, Maradona. And then they just start again.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.